Masters Edition 2024. And that's the reason why I'm whispering, because it's the golf. It's that time of year where it's Augusta National, the Masters, the first major in the golf season, the kickoff to spring. Here we are on the Overrated Experience Sports and Sports Betting Podcast, and we got your betting preview here and now. So welcome once again for those who've joined week over week, and for those who have not, welcome for the first time. There's no good time other than this time to talk about golf. And I've told you for a long time, for those who have taken a chance on the Overrated Experience, that the golf betting world is absolutely amazing, and we're going to get into it. If you want to follow us on Twitter, aka X, follow us at Overrated EXPER2. That's Overrated EXPER2. The information should also be in the description of the episode details on your podcast provider. And here we go. So the Masters is the biggest out of the four major events in the golf world. For you guys who are unfamiliar, there is a lot more to bet on than just simply who is going to win the tournament. There is a lot here, and the uniqueness of the Masters makes it such a great weekend to follow along. And I encourage you, that somebody in your office, somebody in your circle of friends has a Masters pool out there, probably for a small fee, you can join, keep your weekend entertaining. Trust me, it's worth it. We're going to kick it off talking about a few things about the Masters, maybe some things you didn't know, simple things you'd find on the Wikipedia page for the Masters, but for you non-golf fans, this might be of interest to you before we dive into those betting lines that you are here for. So interesting, did you know? Well, the Masters is the only major tournament out of the four that's actually played at the same course each year. There is no change. It is always played at Augusta National Golf Club, which is in Augusta, Georgia. Unlike the U.S. Open or the Open, which was the British Open previously, and the PGA Championship, which do rotate courses on a yearly basis. Augusta is unique. It's there every year. The tournament was established in 1934, but the green jacket, if you don't know what the green jacket is, when you see the winner at the end of Sunday, they'll be presented with a green jacket, which is similar to what members of Augusta the Augusta course wear. Now, interesting note about the green jacket, John Rahm, as an example, because he is the defending champion, he's allowed to take the green jacket out of Augusta and return with the green jacket, to return and defend his championship. But outside of that, you cannot keep your green jacket outside of Augusta National. So even though it's your personal property, it has to stay at Augusta in what is called a cloakroom. And even if you are a repeat winner, so you know with Tiger Woods, I think, four or five times has won the Masters tournament, he has to use the same jacket. There are not four or five different jackets. You know, Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, etc., Phil Mickelson, it's the same jacket that they put on even though they've won more than one time. So the same green jacket, they don't waste material around there. So that's the interesting note. I didn't know that myself. There's a par 3 contest on the Wednesday, so that'll be tomorrow actually, where there's a 9-hole course on site, and the idea is to have a little fun, 9 holes, a par 3 action. The players' kids, if they choose, can caddy for them, encourage families and a family-like atmosphere. And there's a champion's dinner, so that took place tonight. John Rahm, because he's the defending champion, gets to choose the menu. Normally, a player will come in with a menu that's representative of them or the region that they're from in the world. I don't know what John Rahm, who's from Spain, is going to present or going to have the players have, but it's on him today. Give you an example, 1998 Tiger Woods, when he was a young guy, actually had in his championship, the champion's dinner, had cheeseburgers, chicken sandwiches, and milkshakes back in 98, which is interesting, but he was a kid back then, so it's not surprising. And what else should we know? Augusta, Georgia, don't get on a plane right now and show up at the door looking to pay to get on. It is a private course, exclusive. The only time that the general public is allowed on Augusta is during the Masters. Very exclusive course. I encourage you to read up on some of the interesting notes there on a course like that. So that's some interesting betting information. So I'm going to give myself a little golf clap for all that information I've provided you and added value to this podcast. Bravo, bravo. All right, now we go on to the betting lines. Now, I'm going to go through the FanDuel value plays or the interesting bets that I've come across. And then I'll dive a little bit into DraftKings, who had a few entries that I think I'm going to scatter a few dollars on. Now, if you're looking at, which I'm not going to take this, but if you're looking at outright winners, so Scottie Scheffler is a plus 450, and he's the favorite. And I don't know how many players are going to be in the field here, but usually it's the shortest of the majors as far as players entered. It is between 85 and 100 players, but Scottie Scheffler is the favorite, and he's still plus 450. Think of that. Is that really valuable to take? He is the odds-on favorite to win. John Rahm, the defending champion, plus 1,100. Rory McIlroy, plus 1,100. Xander Schauffele is plus 1,400. And Brooks Koepka is plus 2,000. Now, that's only five. You can go down a huge list if you have a feeling that Phil Mickelson's going to win. You have anybody else you think is going to take home the green jacket. It's on you. I'd probably, if you're going to go down the win, to outright win, maybe take a few selections. And the interesting dynamic, like it was last year, this is the second year in a row where live players, those players that are no longer on the PGA Tour, took the big guaranteed money over the last 2 years and joined the live tour based on Saudi money that's come in to open up this new competitive tour. And what's unique about this tour, there's guaranteed money, a shorter schedule. They play team events. It's honestly, the money's good. I can't blame the John Rahms, the Brooks Koepkas of the world from saying, yes, let me go take the guaranteed money, life-changing, like generational money, life-changing money. Cannot blame them, but let's not kid ourselves. On the LIV Tour, really, I don't care what's going on. I mean, there's some great players on the LIV Tour. It's top-end talent, but nobody cares about a LIV event. Let's not pull punches here. Nobody gives two shits. I don't think I had any interest in betting on a live event, but I do have interest when they come into major tournaments like the Masters, making it even more special now that the best players in the world are all in one spot. Anybody with an opinion that is still going on, I heard some dude from the Golf Channel, blah, 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 about John Rahm and him taking the money and, you know, trying to be on his moral high horse. Bullshit. Bullshit. The PGA Tour is just as shady as the LIV Tour. I don't care how you measure who's more shady or less shady, but the idea here is that understanding that the PGA Tour originally scoffed at the LIV Tour and players taking money to the immoral LIV Tour faction, and then, you know, as soon as you could, you know, I don't even have a saying here, but they're trying to get in bed with the LIV Tour, signing an agreement to eventually merge, which apparently has not taken place. That shot out any thought of the PGA taking the moral high ground when they look to get in bed with the LIV Tour. You know, that deal is still on the table, has not been worked out. In the meantime, the PGA is taking on major investors. A lot of American billionaires for a lot of sports teams are now in bed with the PGA. And they've publicly stated that the Saudi fund, the door is still open for those guys to join. So who knows what the future of the top golf in the world looks like. But don't listen to anybody who's trying to play the moral card on decisions made by individuals who are being flashed briefcases of money. There is no moral high ground here, whether you're in the PGA or the LIV Tour. They're a bunch of money hunger. You know, I don't have to say too much after that. I'm going to move on to the betting. So some of the lines that stand out to me on FanDuel, the tournament specials. One at plus 200, I thought was value, and that is for Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy to finish in the top 10, and that includes If they're one of five guys tied for 10th, they will be included in that top 10 at plus 200. So again, Scottie Scheffler is the top odds on favorite to win the tournament. Rory McIlroy is going to be up there. So I think plus 200 is good value there. Where I think there is tough value, but I think it was interesting to talk about, is the line, will any player have a bogey-free round or bogey-free round one? Now, last year, even our defending champion, John Rahm, he kicked off the tournament with a double bogey. And for those who don't know what a bogey is in golf, that each of the holes have a par. So for example, the first hole in the Masters is a par four. So the expectation is that you get the, you know, you take four shots to get it in and you'll be par. You will be under par if you get it in three or two, and you'll be over par if you get it in five or six or more. So if, for example, you shoot a five on a par four, you have bogeyed the hole, plus one. In John Rahm's case, he double bogeyed. He shot a six on a hole that had a par four. So the odds are that I would stay away from this bet altogether. Even the best and the top end folks of these tournaments and last year's performance, the champ, double bogey, but bogeyed the first hole. So I'm going to steer away from it. I see Scottie Scheffler in round one is plus 1,100, not the bogey. Matsuyama, 16 plus 1,600. John Rahm, 1,600. I just don't see it. I can't see it. The odds are lower for the tournament. I'd stay away from that for sure. Round leader, under the category of round leader, there is value here. John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, both are plus 110 to finish in the top 20 in the first round. Now, that's interesting. I see value in there, and I'll ride that, no problem. Now, also to note, I should have mentioned this earlier, they're expecting wet weather in round one and the weather to get better as the rounds move on throughout the weekend. Now, last year was marred by weather as well, and some of the group could not finish and had to go and, you know, play half of their first round and a full second round, round two. Actually, that weather went pretty deep into the first few rounds, so we might see something similar impacting some of these courses and the course conditions. The wet weather may make the green softer. I don't know if it's better or worse, but just keep in mind that there'll be some wet weather on Thursday. Tiger, Mr. Tiger Woods, who's pledged abstinence heading into the Masters tournament, master of his own domain, that is. Will he make the cut? What do you think? What do you think about Tiger? Tiger Woods, the best that I've ever seen, but obviously not the Tiger Woods that was able to come back in 2019, win the Masters. I think those years are long gone. To make the cut, he's minus 104. Not to make the cut, he's minus 140. There's a lot of juice there, but make the cut. Will he make it through a round? Will he make it through two rounds? Think about if the rounds get all thrown about because of the weather. Is Tiger really going to be in a condition to finish these two rounds, especially if he gets stretched into, you know, you got to play 20 plus holes in one day? I don't think so. I like the Tiger not to make it. I'm sorry for you Tiger Woods fans out there, but minus 140, a little heavy on the juice, but I think still holds a lot of value. Top five finish in the tournament. This one is to me. If you're going to notice a theme here, John Rahm, to me, the defending champion, owned the course, the same course, the same Augusta National course that we've seen last year. He was phenomenal. And I think he's taken a backseat because he is on the LIV Tour now. And we don't see him on a week-to-week basis, even though it's on TV and we could watch. We don't want to watch because it's shitty viewing. I think he's taking a raw deal here, but that's value for us. So I'm backing John Rahm in a lot of bets here heading into the weekend. And for him to finish top five, plus 230, you got my money. I'll take it. John Rahm, top five. Match betting. So match betting is where you pick one player versus another throughout the whole weekend. And obviously the player with the better record wins. If one player gets cut and the other one does not make the cut, which if you don't know in golf, that as they approach the Saturday and Sunday rounds, they have a line called a cut where half the field will not make it to play in those Saturday and Sunday rounds to shorten up the pool of players, speed things along. So if your player gets cut and does not make it Saturday or Sunday and you bet against somebody who did, you lose, or vice versa. And some of the matchups I like, Victor Hovland is plus 102 versus Bryson DeChambeau, minus 130. I know this is looking at what have we done lately, but I mean, what value do you put on live tour performances? Like Bryson's been successful in some of the tournaments recently. But Victor Hovland, you know, Victor Hovland finished, what, third, fourth, fifth, whatever, top five last year, six or something like that. Finished, you know, what did Victor do? Victor tied for seventh, sorry, in last year's Masters, while Bryson DeChambeau didn't even make the cut. So I'll take my odds with Victor and his familiarity with the course in a recent timeline, the last 365 days. So give me Victor Hovland versus Bryson DeChambeau plus 102. Then Tiger versus Phil. Phil versus Tiger. Tiger plus 100 versus Phil minus 128. We're talking about a Phil Mickelson who finished second in the Masters last year, made a late run. And he made a late run while Tiger backed out. Okay? You tell me there's not value here with Phil minus 128 versus Tiger. It was the last time Tiger played. I think he played a couple weeks ago, but really, he's not had a steady schedule. He's broken down. And the odds of him finishing a tournament, especially when he falls behind, are slim to none. He's here to win the Masters. That is Tiger. Phil's here to win it too. Don't get me wrong. He's got three of these as well. He knows his course. And he's more likely to finish four rounds than Tiger. So I like minus 128. And Phil versus Tiger, absolutely love it. Now here's an interesting one. I told you Scottie Scheffler, world's number one ranked golfer, is minus 210 versus Johnny Rahm, plus 160. And I think there's value on John Rahm. Scottie Scheffler shit the bed last year. Really faded. Really could not reach his expectations last year. He's a former champ. But last year's performance, if anything is any indicator, he struggled. John Rahm, plus 160. I like it. And it's worth also noting that if you take Rory or Koepka, you know, you got Rory at plus 136, Koepka plus 270 versus Scheffler. So I don't put Scheffler on this pedestal that a lot of players are doing. He's hot right now, but this is the Masters. And I, for some reason, see him struggling again. I do. So I think there's the Scheffler train is a little overvalued right now heading into the Masters. So let's take advantage of that. Let's take advantage of that. Here's the one I love. We're talking value. It may not hit, but I mean, this is your chance to pull in a few dollars to help with your summer vacation coming up. And that is birdies in the first round. So this is where you take a golfer and you determined, you know, how many birdies you think they have in the first round. So I'll give you an example. I'll give you two examples with John Rahm and Jordan Spieth. So John Rahm, defending champion last year, I mentioned, opened the tournament with a double bogey. Okay. Double bogey to open the tournament. He finished with eight birdies or better. So let me throw that in there. He had an eagle in there as well. So that is two shots better than, so let's say eagle par five. He finished with a three. That'd be an eagle. So it's birdie or better. He finished with eight holes with a birdie or better. And right now the lines are showing that at, you know, for four birdies, minus 140, which you're going to take a lot of juice there, but do you consider that a lock for Johnny Rahm? But maybe the value here is really at five. birdies is at plus 230. How can you not love that? 8 birdies or better last year on a course he knows very well in that first round, and you got him at a plus 230 heading into Thursday. Liking it. I'm liking it. And now I'm not going to back this one, but I'm thinking about it. You tell me. He hit 8. You put a couple dollars on him getting 7 birdies at plus 2,000 or plus 2,200. If I do the math on that, that's a couple, you know, that's good value. I should do the math. Damn it. I missed the math. I had the math earlier. But there's value there. So watch out. And then Jordan Spieth had 7 birdies or better in round 1 last year at the Masters. He is at 4 birdies at minus 115, which is a steal. 5 plus 280. And then him, 7 is 2,300. Or 2,300 plus 2,300 for 7 birdies. But him, the value, I think, is the plus 280 to get 5. I think there's value there. If one of them hits, bam, you're good. And look down the board for more value. Do the research. You're going to hit. Somebody is going to take off, and it's usually the top-end guys in a tournament like this. Take a look. Now, moving over to DraftKings, some interesting lines here that I think are worth the extra deposit into a new account. And one that really stood out to me, which you get, it's got juice on it, but how does it not pull out a win? Yeah, how many times you said that before gambling, right? Top senior in the tournament. Phil Mickelson is minus 140. Let's look at his competition that you are going to be betting against. So I just said Phil Mickelson minus 140, tied for second, minus 8, last year's Masters. Vijay Singh is plus 400. He didn't make the cut last year. He finished at plus 6 after 2 rounds. Mike Weir, the Canadian former Masters champion, plus 400, missed the cut, minus 4. Freddie Couples, plus 500. He did make the cut, but finished tied for 50th at plus 9. And Jose Maria Oyarzabal, plus 2,000, missed the cut, plus 10. How does Phil finishes 4 rounds? How does he not easily be the top senior? He's here to win. I'm not saying I'm going to put money on him to win, but these four other guys are almost in a coma and showing up for the free snacks or something. So how is it not? I think that's well undervalued. Minus 140, Phil Mickelson to be the top senior. I take that all day, and I will. Well, at least take a Thursday through Sunday. If you like hole-in-ones, there were 5 last year in the Masters. So here we go. 2 or more hole-in-ones in the tournament can get you plus 225. Hole 16's had like 20-something or 30-something hole-in-ones over time. So 5 last year. You tell me there can't be 2 at least, you know, throughout the tournament. 3, a plus 800. Again, said 5 last year, so it can happen. And maybe another way of looking at the hole-in-one picture is that a hole-in-one in round 1, just 1, plus 600. Hole-in-one round 2, just 1, plus 600. Hole-in-one plus 700 in round 3. And then it drops significantly to plus 110 in round 4. That's a huge drop, but you put 10 bucks day 1, day 2, day 3, one of them hits, still making profit, right? So a lot of interesting stuff on the DraftKings side of things, predominantly from the FanDuel side of things. Now, that was my quick Masters review. Feel free to get a hold of us at the Overrated Experience Twitter page, Twitter site, what do you call it, page, spot, landing, I don't know, whatever, on Twitter. Overrated EXPER2. That's Overrated EXPER2. Or Facebook or Instagram at Overrated Experience. Drop us a line. Let us know you're listening or following because you listen to the podcast. The Overrated Experience is going to clap for the performance I've provided you here today. I think I provided some good value in the Masters. Thursday, If you're looking forward to Saturday night's UFC 300, I'm going to put together a look at the main card and the betting preview there. So join us Thursday as this podcast will drop, and we'll talk some fisticuffs. All right? So for all you putts out there, the pleasure's all been yours, and the overrated experience is over and out. Bye-bye.